Again, good to see everybody again this morning. It is my privilege and distinct honor to be able to introduce you to our guest speaker this morning, Mr. Tom Doyle. Tom Doyle works with E3 right now, and for the first 20 years of his adult ministry, he was a senior pastor at a church in Texas and in Colorado as well. Back in 2001, God brought him out of the pastor, and he began to go into the mission field with E3, where he works today, working with the persecuted church in the Middle East and in Northern Africa. And so as we move into Persecuted Church Sunday today, and we remember believers all around the world who are suffering, legitimately suffering for their faith, I thought, what better person to come and speak to us this morning than Tom Doyle. So would you guys please help me in welcoming Tom Doyle this morning?
Thank you. It's great to be with you. And I have fond affection for this church. You guys, a couple years ago, we did an Israel trip, and we were loving being there, taking DBC, but we had some struggles. We had one son in particular that was really struggling with alcoholism, and you know, when you're a missionary, you just keep going and going, and it was hard to leave to go and do that trip, and we were at a site, I'll never forget, it was at En Gedi, and some of the, Ken, you were there, and some of those said, hey, well, how can we pray for you? And Joanne and I just kind of broke down, and we started telling what was really going on in our life, and they prayed, and man, it just really turned that trip around for us. God answered those prayers, and you joined people around the world praying. Our son came out of that. He's actually a missionary with us now in the Middle East, leading Muslims to faith in Christ, so only God could have turned that around, and thank you for praying. Yeah. So, you know, I was a pastor for 20 years, and then God called us to go into missions, and I never thought I would write books or anything. It's just God just totally turned our life around. And so it was 2001, God called us to leave the pastorate a couple months before 9/11, and then it happened, the world changed, Muslim world changed. And so it ended up, we're raising support, we go on the mission field a couple of months after 9/11, okay? So here we are, and my first trip is to Israel and the Gaza Strip. In E3, we didn't have anything going, so we're looking for leaders, we're going. My first official mission trip as a missionary, and we're going to the Gaza Strip, okay? And so I'm on the airplane, and I was reading Voice of the Martyrs magazine, and it said, the Gaza Strip is the most dangerous place for believers now in the world. And I thought, dang it, why didn't I read this last week? I'm on the plane now, it's too late. And so we get there, and we go into Gaza, and the very first day, two things happen. We're walking in Gaza City, and a Muslim woman just saw me in the crowd, and it's just a really tight space there, like 1.7 million people, 6 miles wide, 25 miles long, and so this woman sees me, and she's covered in a hijab. She makes a beeline and grabs my arm, shakes my arm, and I said, oh, hello, and she said, you're from America, aren't you? And I said, yes, and she said, I could tell by your eyes, and I just wanted to say something to you, and I said, oh, okay. And she said, did you see on September 11th when the buildings came down? Did you see that? And did you see when CNN showed the people in Gaza cheering and celebrating? And I mean, she spoke perfect English. I said, well, yeah, I mean, I did see that. And she said, well, I wasn't celebrating. She goes, I wasn't a part of that. I was actually crying for those people because they didn't deserve to die, and that was wrong. And I'm so sorry, and please forgive us. And she tapped her heart and turned and walked away. And I remember thinking, wow, there's human beings in the Gaza Strip. There are people created in the image of God. Not all of them are terrorists. Not all of them, you know, want to do jihad. And so that was the first thing that happened. Then later that day, we went to a mosque. So I have a friend, his name is Hussein, former Muslim. Do you guys know what an MBB is? Muslim background believer, okay? MBB, Muslim background believer. Plenty of them in Dallas right now, so it's good to get to know that. Muslim background believer. Hussein says, Tom, let's go down to Yasser Arafat's mosque. And there's a bunch of guys hanging out. Israel just hit his house because they were shooting rockets out. And there's Muslims in front of the mosque. Let's go down there and share Jesus. Okay. Well, this is really literally day one as a missionary. Okay. All right. Well, we're starting off, Lord. And so there we go. And we go down to the mosque and we're meeting people and they think it's kind of interesting. Americans, you know, it's a couple of us. And so we're talking and it's going really well. And but Hussein pulls me back and says, "Hey, Tom, I just wanted to tell you, you know, we're not supposed to be doing this. This is illegal. So we could get arrested for this." But, you know, really, every believer should be arrested at least once for sharing their faith, don't you think? I mean, it's a good thing, right? And okay, yes. So conversation's going well, but then apparently someone got on their cell phone and started to call the religious leaders. And all of a sudden, the mood changed. And the long beards and the skull caps and the white dish dashes showed up. And they had their Qurans and they were pointing fingers and they were kind of encircling us. And there was anger there, and you could tell they were coming at us. And all of a sudden, I thought, this probably is not going to end good. And Hussein pulled me back and said, "Well, you know, if it really goes bad, Tom, they could try to hurt us. I mean, these guys are angry." And he said, "I mean, they could even kill us. But, man, I'm ready to die for Jesus. And you're a missionary. You're ready to die for Jesus, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, I mean, yeah, do you mean like right now? Is that what you mean? Are you talking about right now?" And just this thought went through my mind. I don't know, I just have these weird thoughts, and I just thought, what a short career. Really, one day. I mean, this is it, one day. Don't count the plane ride, one day. You know, we survive, obviously. Hussein lives there. I get on a plane after a couple weeks, get to go home. He lives there, sharing his faith. It's dangerous in the Gaza Strip. Can you imagine 11 terrorist group? Hamas is the government. They're there. They're sharing with Muslims secretly. They're coming to faith in Christ. And it really reminds me of a church in the New Testament. Would you take your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians 1, and there's this church that Paul went into, Thessalonica, three Shabbats, three Sabbaths, preaches in the synagogue, people are excited, Jewish religious leaders are angry, a church is born, a riot starts. Man, this is just typical where Paul goes, and immediately, right out of the chute, they had problems. Look at in 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 4 and 5. For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you. I just love those tender words, loved by God. He's chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. And you know how we lived among you for your name's sake. It was backed up by their lives. And so the gospel came in with power, with the Holy Spirit, with deep conviction. And the gospel bursts onto the scene, whether it's a city, a village, a nation, a person's life, it just busts onto the scene, and they are never the same. Well, it's laughable to a lot of people that know me before that I would ever be a missionary in the Middle East reaching Muslim training teams to do that. I had no heart for them. I didn't. I went to Israel. I was a guide for Israel, excited about our Jewish roots. And so 21 years ago, I went to Israel and just got all excited about it. I just didn't notice Muslims. I guess they're the enemy. They want to hurt us, whatever. Wasn't into it. And plus, my dad was an FBI. When I grew up, my dad was an FBI, organized crime specialist, fought the mafia, Russia in the Cold War, you know, Chicago, Las Vegas, fixed elections, all that kind of stuff. He was involved in investigating that. So in my family, you can imagine, in high school, my dad's an FBI, could never get away with anything. Seriously, never. In my family, you were guilty until proven innocent. That's where you started. So I just kind of had this mindset. Well, I go up to Denver to get my car fixed. We're living in Colorado Springs. Joanne drops me off, and they said, "We're sorry, we called you. Actually, the car isn't done. We found another problem we got to fix." That's wonderful news, thank you. And but it'll take us an hour. Can you go across the street and just get something to eat? And it's on us. Just go on over there. And so, okay. So I walked across the street. It's a Middle Eastern restaurant. I've been to Israel. I like falafels. Those are cool. So I got one and Diet Pepsi. And I'm just sitting there eating, you know. And two guys walk in. So this is 21 years ago. Two guys walk in, black leather jackets, Arab, closely cropped beards, and they sit at this table right next to me. It can't be 3 feet away, and they're whispering in Arabic. They're whispering like this and talking, and so I'm kind of listening in. I mean, my dad's an FBI, right? We know these things. These guys are terrorists. They're planning something. I need to figure out what it is, and then I'm going to call the authorities. And I'm listening in Arabic, Arabic. And finally, one of them says to the other in English out loud, "Boy, the Lord is amazing, isn't he?" I thought, oh, that's a little strange. You know, then back to the Arabic, and I'm listening in. The other guy says loud in English, "Jesus is Lord over Syria, isn't he, Mahmoud?" I just went, oh my gosh, hey, are you guys believers? And they said, yes, are you? And I said, I think so. I mean, I used to be. I don't know, you know, until I judged you that you were terrorists and they're brothers in Christ, right? And to make matters worse, they invited me to their homes. I met their family, and I thought, oh my gosh, these are believers in Syria, from a Muslim background. They have the looks so they can blend in. It's not easy there. And talk about God changing their lives. They shared about how Jesus came into their life, and then I started hearing about Muslims having dreams. It was crazy. It was just a whole new world. Listen to this in verse 6. I love this. "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, and you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." I just love that. So they welcomed the Lord. They knew they were going to get ripped for doing it and severe suffering. But look at this. With the joy given by the Holy Spirit in the midst of severe suffering. See, I just wouldn't connect those phrases. In the midst of severe suffering with the joy of the Holy Spirit. I wouldn't. And it's the only time you find that with the joy given by the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. Joy in suffering, right in the middle of it. Man, can believers survive persecution? Can young believers survive persecution? And you know what the answer is? We don't survive persecution, we thrive in it. We get stronger, we get more bold, the church is built stronger, and it takes deeper roots. Do you know that the fastest growing church per capita in the world today is in the nation of Iran? This year they had over 1,000 executions. They had more than China for political purposes. It is dangerous if you meet Jesus in Iran, but that's not stopping the church. And remember what Jesus said in Matthew 16, upon this rock, what? I will build my church. And the gates of hell, they're not going to stop it. They are flimsy. They are like Kleenex that he just goes through. So it doesn't matter if there's a terrorist group or an evil regime or an evil leader. It's not going to stop the church. And believers don't survive it. They thrive. And so I want to tell you about my friend Fareed. Fareed is our national leader in Syria. And Fareed came to faith in Christ, dramatic salvation, how he came to faith in Christ. He is in Syria leading people to faith in Christ, Muslims, Druze, Alawites. It's a religious war is what's going on there. You hear all the politics, but it really comes down to religion. So many of the Christians and believers have left, but yet things are happening. Muslims are coming to Christ in Syria faster than ever. And so even though it's dangerous, even though he's had over 30 threats and even written on his house threats, once they were spray painted, then they were written on notes about how he was going to be killed, what they were going to do to his wife, they're staying. They're there in the midst of it. But he gave his leaders a chance to leave. He said, you know, really, we know how this war is going. We're probably going to get killed if we stay here. And one of these days, the borders will be closed. We won't be able to leave. So you have wives and young children. Why don't you go home this week, 10 leaders, and pray with your family and fast and seek the Lord. Does he want you to stay in Syria or should you leave? And if you leave, that's fine. We're not calling you to be heroes, but you got to hear a word from the Lord if you're going to stay, because it's going to get rougher and we're probably going to be killed for our faith. So they went off and they prayed and fasted for a week. And as Fareed came back, and the deal was, if you're in, come back to that room a week later. It was an underground basement in Damascus. And Fareed goes and puts his hand on the door, the knob, and he said, the thought went through his mind, I wonder if anybody's even going to be in the room. I mean, really, why would you stay there? It's Syria. Like, one day they had 92 bombs dropped on Damascus, and people are living there and raising their kids. How could you do it? And he opened the door, and there weren't 5 leaders, and there wasn't even 10. There were 25 leaders. The 10 had gone out and recruited 15 more leaders that said, we're staying here. Jesus is the answer. We're going to bring Jesus to this country, even if we die. And so many of them are former Muslims and Druze and Alawites. And so what they did is they went out and they bought some land. They pitched together money so they can bury themselves when they die for Jesus, because they figure that's what's going to happen. And so when we get emails from him and updates and things in Syria, and it's pretty tricky with the secret police, and that's general, he will say things like, he is moving. We can figure out what that means, right? We have new friends, many new friends. That means new people coming to faith in Christ. It really means Muslims are coming to faith in Christ. And then he says some more good news. And the graveyard's still empty. Nobody's in the grave. Nobody's dead. And you know what? It worked out this morning. I texted him. He's out of Syria for just a little bit. And I texted Fareed. We're going to be able to call him in a minute and get a live update from him, okay? And then we're going to get to pray. Fareed, and the graveyard's still empty. Believers don't survive persecution. They thrive. See, Jesus said that they're going to hate you because they hate me. And I hear these pronouncements about the church being wiped out, like Iran, the Ayatollah said, we'll crush it, we'll smash it. And now over 2 million believers, some say as many as 4 million underground believers. The gospel will not be stopped. And I think persecuted believers are the face of genuine Christianity. Look at verse 7. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And I love this. It goes on. The message rang out from you in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith is becoming known everywhere. Well, you guys probably remember last year, the 21 martyrs were walked on a beach in Libya. They were in orange jumpsuits. They're from Egypt. And ISIS was standing behind them. They had kind of photoshopped themselves to look like 7 feet tall. They're not 7 feet tall, but it was a real video. And they marched them on the beach, and they killed them. And I remember when I saw this coming on ABC News, I thought, oh, my gosh, this is terrible. I can't believe it. Well, we were privileged to start a letter-writing campaign to these 21 widows. And over 2,000 letters poured in with Bible verses, notes of love. These are brothers in the faith that lost their life because they wouldn't convert to Islam. They stood strong for Jesus. So people wrote notes, and my wife, Joanne, and I, and a few others, we went and delivered to them in their villages in Egypt these notes of love to the widows. This was months later. And man, I'll tell you what, I had a game change in my mind. Everything changed when I started to meet the widows. The first one we met was Takia, 20 years old. She has a 1-year-old daughter, Miriam. And she said to us, you know, I miss my husband terribly. But she said, imagine this. Imagine, she said this through a translator. Imagine this, that I live in this village that no one's heard of. And I don't even know how to read and write. But how blessed and honored I am that God gave me the privilege of having the highest honor anyone could have living in this life, to have someone in their family that was willing to die for Jesus. I'm so honored. I'm so blessed. And then she told the story of her husband, Luke. He led worship in the church. And when ISIS took his head off, he was singing praises to Jesus. Do you know that the words on their lips, the last words were Jesus, of all those martyrs, Jesus, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, forgive them. And I started to realize, Lord, I've been thinking through this with Western eyes, This was not a defeat. This was a victory. Revelation 12:11 says they conquered him. They defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They did not love life more than death. And so Satan threw everything he could at those 21. And do you know what? 45 days they were tortured. Over 100 did convert to Islam. These 21 did not. They didn't bend. They didn't break. They didn't convert to Islam. That's a victory. One of these days, we're going to learn some things from them in heaven. There was no chance they were converting. They joyfully gave their lives for Jesus. Well, let's look at this video here, and we'll show you some things that are going on in Syria. And this is Fareed, who we hope, if technology works, everybody pray, we may get to talk to him. So let's look at this video.
You know, in Syria, Jesus start moving inside Syria, inside the war. You remember in Romans when he said he bring all things together, work together for those people who believe in God. This is what's now happened in Syria. Before the war, it's so difficult to arrive to the Muslim or to speak. It's so dangerous for us. Now inside the war, we can do this. We can speak about Jesus by freedom more than before. God used the bad things, the war, for his glory. And you can see now thousands of people come to Jesus from Muslim background. And you can see the ministry, how it's growing, and the home churches, how it's growing inside the villages, inside the homes. And you can go sometime to these homes, and you can see the cross in the wall. You can see Jesus' picture. That means they are not afraid about their life. And I remember one day I had a video from the church. All the people inside the church is non-Christian, but they are now believers. And the pastor of this church is, his name is Hussein. You know,
Muslim name.
This is give us like idea about how God moved inside the war to arrive to the people to know him, especially the non-Christian background. The refugee, when they are go special out of Syria, they had difficult life, and they think the like Muslim background or the people, they will help them when they are go out, but no one help. You can see in the television, you can see in the news, but this is not the real what's happened there. Many people die just because they didn't find food. Many people die because they were sick and they cannot go to the doctors. But when the ministry start between them, and many times they ask us, why you come to us? Why you are not from our religion and you come to help us? Why you do this? And the answer is makes the difference. The answer is because Jesus asked us to do this. Sometimes just when you put your hands in the shoulders for some man, he is crying for him. It's so important. And they saw Jesus in our life. And because we help them and we don't ask them for anything, you know. We don't ask them, if you don't come to Jesus, we will not help you. No, we help them just because Jesus asked us to do this. And really, they saw Jesus work in them life and through this team who worked between the refugee. And in the if we speak about the refugee inside Syria, I remember one family, they come to us and they said, really, we saw Jesus through you. Before the war, we don't think about Jesus, but now we know him through you. You see the difference between how they start to look for Jesus? I believe this is the time for working between the refugee inside Syria and out of Syria, because the Holy Spirit is moved between them.
Amen. What a hero of our faith. You know, in the Middle East, when you come to Jesus, you got to be willing to die for him. In America, we're looking for people that are just willing to live for him, right? That's what we want. Well, let me tell you, did you know that the state that has the most Muslims now in America is Texas? Did you know that? They're coming here. They're open. You have immigrants. You have refugees. They are open to the gospel. Never before have they been open like this. More Muslims really in the last few years have come to faith in Christ than in 1,400 years of Islam. And I know, when you think about refugees, there's been bad things. Our country's been burned, for sure. But I think as believers, you can't look at an issue through a telescope. Too many people say, I don't want the refugees, we want them all. We need to look at it through binoculars. There's two lenses. There's the government and the church. And you know what? The government needs to step it up and have better screening. We do. There's names of people here from Syria and Iraq that are shocking that they even got into our country. We need the government to fix that and keep us safe. But yet, the other lens, right, is the church. And we cannot default over to the government to fix the Muslim problem. We've been called to fulfill the Great Commission, right? Have we been called to do that? And you know what? Jesus is making it easy for us. The nations are coming to us. We used to talk about pray for people to go to the 1040 window. Guess what? The 1040 window is outside our window. They're right here. They're coming. They're open to Jesus. Don't go forward in fear. We're never called to live that way. And I think that's a strategy of Satan, by the way. And I'm not here to minimize terrorism, because we've had times where we almost lost our life. We've been in bombings and shootings and some bad things on blacklists in countries. So we know that. But I do realize this, that Satan is not stupid. He knows that Muslims are coming to faith in Christ faster than ever before. So here's his game plan. Let's get the Christians to stay away from them. Let's get them really afraid of them. Let's get them to where they're angry or they hate them. And listen, look at some of the things they've done. I mean, it's been terrible what they've done. But let's keep them away, because we don't want them hearing about Jesus. Well, okay, so are you guys ready to call Fareed and talk to him? Let me ask you this. If like a superstar walked into church, Dirk Nowitzki or Tony Romo or Aaron Armstrong or Dak Prescott. What's his name? Dak Prescott? Yeah, he's great. He's great. What would you do? You would probably welcome him, receive him. This is better. You're talking to a New Testament saint on the front lines. So I'm going to call him, Pastor, if we can have that microphone. I'm going to call Fareed. And once I do, when I introduce him to you, could you let him know that you're thankful for his life? Cheer. Okay, shake your head if you... Oh, okay, good. Wake up, guys. Here we go. Fareed, are you there? Okay, we want to introduce you to some friends in Dallas. Hey, guys, this is Fareed. As you can tell, Fareed, you have some new friends here.
Yeah, God bless you.
Oh, hey, listen, we are so thankful for you, and we know it's dangerous. Can you just give us a short update on what's happening in Syria?
Mm-hmm. Thank God, in all this bad news you can hear from news, God work hardly there, and many people will come to Jesus in this time, especially from the Muslim background. And the ministry is growing, and we can see how God put his hands in middle of the dangerous and in middle of the threats and many difficulties there. And thank God we still have... protect from God in this time.
Amen. Amen. Listen, we want to pray and just get a couple of requests that we can pray for. This is a praying church. They've certainly prayed for us, and God did some miracles, and I know they want to pray for you, and we can even jot down the prayer request, but I'm going to have Pastor Aaron pray for you. Could you just give us some of the hot prayer requests, some of the things that we could really help by praying for, okay?
Okay. Please pray for wisdom for the believer in this yes. time, because it's so important time now. The government, we have many problems with the government and, you know, ISIS and the Islam around us. So please pray for wisdom for us. And please pray for the children, because we have many threats to kidnap the children of believers and like this. You know, they go to school every day morning and turn back alone, and all the time the family, the believers, have afraid about them, their children.
Getting kidnapped.
Yeah, and please pray for protection for the minister there who are moving between the villages, because it's so dangerous to move between this in the area where we are working now. And please pray for protection for them. Amen. And also please pray for the new believers to God, give them encourage and to use their faith with their families, because, you know, the new believers sometimes afraid and feel that they have many difficulties in their life. Please pray for this new believers.
Amen. We will do that. Pastor Aaron's going to pray right now.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you right now for Reed and his incredible testimony of what you have done in his life to not only bring salvation, and to provide an example for what it is to love you and to serve you with the entirety of our lives. God, I praise you for him. I pray that your favor be upon him, and the God, that you would confirm your love and your plans for him day after day. Father, as the enemy tries to come in and bring discouragement or a hardening of heart or any kind of complacency, I pray that your spirit would breathe life into him, and God, that you would sustain him day after day. Father, for the church that's there in Syria right now, I pray that you would bring I pray that you bring encouragement to them today. God, that you would give them your wisdom as they're trying to figure out how to maneuver the intricacies of the government, where to go next. I pray that your wisdom would guide them, God, that they would be in the middle of your will at all times. Father, I pray for the next generation of children that are being brought up in that church and those who are being brought up around it. And I pray that your favor and protection be around them too, that your Holy Spirit would grab hold of their lives at a young age, and God, that they would know the joy of walking with you, the security that you bring, the hope of salvation, the hope of renewed life right now, God. I pray that your Holy Spirit would breathe life into them, and God, that there would be a new generation of MBBs that are being raised up, and not only here but around the world, God, that are going to bring glory to your name, that you would lead many to saving faith, and that you would just let the blind come and see, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. And God, for the ministers that are walking, that are moving around the country, I pray that you would give them your protection, your wisdom, your guidance, Lord God, as they're trying to figure out where you're taking them each step along the way. Mm-hmm. Again, may your spirit be going before them to bring about incredible fruit, that the glory of Jesus Christ would spread to the ends of the earth, Lord God. Yes. That is our prayer, that your name would be praised and your name would be lifted up. Sustain our friends that are there in Syria today. I pray that you would remind them of your power and your presence right now. And God, even as I pray that, I'm just reminded of the miraculous ways that you work that are not normal. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would visit them in abnormal ways to them and remind them of your power and your presence today. We love you and we thank you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Fareed, we're just honored to talk to you. We just want to tell you we love you and your family and your leaders. And we are so thankful, and at this point, the graveyard's still empty. Is that right?
Yeah, hallelujah, still empty.
Amen. Okay, love you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Wow, what a hero. Sometimes we're even able to get him here to Dallas occasionally, and maybe we should do that sometime. Wow. He has a sermon on suffering and what God's taught him. Amazing. Truly amazing. Well, what do we do with all of this, church? What do I do? This is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. We need to stand with our brothers and sisters in prison, persecution, and danger. That's what God calls us to do. We have a Facebook site, 838, the number 8, 30, and 8. If you get on there and like it, you will get updates daily from believers in distress that are sending up SOS signals. The body of Christ comes together. There's 20,000 of us now praying. And we will set our watch and our iPhone, however you keep time, 8:38 p.m. every night and pray for those in prison, persecution, and danger. And our theme verse is Romans 8:38-39. And nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ, from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So we'd love you to join that. How many of you are Facebookers? Raise your hands. Okay, you're in church, you can't lie. Okay, so, oh, a few more. Okay, all right. So please get on there, like it, and you'll get updates daily. Secondly, let's live like them. Ask ourselves the two questions. Am I willing to suffer for Jesus? Am I willing to die for Jesus? Those guys, Fareed, as they share the gospel, they tell the potential new believers that come from that background, the Muslim background, you may suffer. And if you do, it'll probably be at the hands of your own family. They'll be so disgraced that you've left your religion, they may try to hurt you. And secondly, are you willing to die for Jesus? And they say yes. And I always think about this. I think about when I was pastoring for 20 years. Just, can you imagine if we would have laid those two questions on newcomers to the church, the new members class, right? Man, talk about vacating the place, right? Quick. But that's how they live. Pray for God's heart for lost people. They are all around you. They are here in America. They are here in Dallas, Texas, where you live. It is replete with Muslims that are looking for friendships, waiting to meet people. I'll tell you one quick story, and then we'll cut it off. We have some friends, Jay and Marsha, and they got excited about reaching out to Muslims here. And I know you watch the news and everything's terrorism, terrorism, terrorism. Well, they just felt convicted. We need to do something. So they asked this family that had lived on their block for years, would you come over for dinner? And they were from Kuwait, Muslim family. She's covered, two children. They came over. They had dinner. They readily accepted. And Jay says this, I don't know what was going on, but it was bizarre. The kids, their two kids were grade school. They were like out of control. They were hyper. It was like they drank two Red Bulls on the way over. What is going on? And finally, the wife says, I just want to say I'm sorry about the kids and they're misbehaving, but we've lived in America now and in Dallas about 8 years, and we're just excited. It's the first time anyone invited us into their house. And does that just go through your heart like a knife? It does me. Hey, you know what? There have been years ago where I would have been on that block. I'm not having them over, but God broke our heart for them. See them through Jesus' eyes. Pray for the persecuted church. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus said they're going to hate you because they hate me. And Paul said, if one of us suffers, we all suffer. We may not be called to persecution, although I think it's coming. But we may not be called to it. But here's why I think it's coming to our country. There's patterns in Scripture. If you look at Scripture, a lot of times Americans look for a point. I look for patterns. And what you see first in Scripture is first there's accusation, then there's persecution. If you look at that passage in Revelation 12, who is the enemy? The accuser. And then he persecuted them. Look at what's being hung on Christians in this country today. We're being accused of a lot of things. I think there might be some persecution on the way, but we need to stand together, lock arms, pray for them, for those that are in prison, persecution, and danger, and let's lift them up right now. Lord Jesus, you are awesome, and it is just such a blessing when technology works like that, Lord, so I just want to thank you for that, and what a blessing to meet Fareed by phone and to hear his heart, and even a little bit of the anguish in his soul as he sees so many people dying. And I think about in his city where he said something like 18,000 young people have been killed already. Just in his city, it's a mess. The war's not showing any signs of stopping. But only you can enter into that, Jesus, and make something good out of the evil and the mess. And so we thank you for your church. We thank you that Muslims are coming to faith in Christ. Build them up strong. May they be willing to suffer. May they be willing to be persecuted. May they be willing to die. And they will be like those Thessalonian Christians where the message rang out from them and it had credibility and authority because people saw what was happening in their lives and they didn't leave Jesus. They got stronger. They went deeper. They became more bold. Make us like them. We ask you to do that, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Thanks for letting me be with you this weekend.